Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 2nd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adelaide Jr., and joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
See, now I don't know if I use the same line, if we go back to the same bit we were doing before.
No, we have to imitate everything we did on the previous four intros. And so okay. What did we talk about? What came up?
It's good that we can finally host together again.
Yes.
After the unpleasantness is over.
Yes. Oh my God, Donkoween, or Donktober, what a month. What a month October was, right? Real crazy. All the things happened. You decided to choose a side and it was the wrong side. And I guess that's the first thing I'm going to call you out on. I didn't listen to that episode because I already knew what was coming. All right. I expected you to betray me. But why, Imran? Why?
Ultimately, Greg Miller signs the checks. So I got to go with who, like, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, Blessing. I mean, you do. I don't.
I mean, I do.
Yes.
But you also didn't have to choose, or you could have even thrown your own hat in the ring. That's what I was expecting. I was expecting Imran to come through and be like, all right, I'm the Halloween king now. You and wearing like a big old like pumpkin costume type thing. I was expecting that. I wasn't expecting you to betray me.
If I had thought about it for longer than like a day, because like when I said I'm going to make the announcement of who I'm going to throw my support on, I did not make a decision until like that morning.
Oh, that's great.
So I was like, I don't know. I'll decide somebody. But yeah, it's fine. I don't actually know how it all ended up anyway.
Imran, I also want to compliment you on your jacket. You're wearing the PSLOVE jacket, the bomber jacket that's now available on, I'm assuming, kindoffunny.com/store. I don't have one. I'm very jealous.
I'm pretty sure this is supposed to be yours. I stole.
Maybe if you had voted differently. No, wait. How does that work?
Voted?
I'm talking about Imran. But like, I guess he's purposely attacking you by stealing your jacket.
And I got the jacket. I mean, you kind of have to draw a straight line between those two things, right? Like, if I had supported you, would I have gotten your jacket? Probably not.
I do feel attacked on multiple fronts. I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel very attacked this episode. I need to get a jacket. Joey, I know you're watching this because you watch every episode. Joey, since Imran has the one small jacket that we got delivered, I'm going to need two small jackets. Thank you. I appreciate it. Imran, enough about jackets. Let's talk about video games.
No, you can make threats now. You can just say, like, every day that doesn't go by, you want one more jacket.
That's not a threat, though. That's, like, added responsibility, and I don't have enough authority to command Joey like that.
If Joey retaliates, though, she could, like, send you pieces of a jacket, like, in the mail. Like, here's just the cuff.
Here's, like, a cut-off sleeve of the jacket.
Here's proof of life of the jacket.
Yeah. If anything, Joey probably has more leverage than I do in the situation where she can't fuck. She probably can fuck with me in this essence. Like, I have nothing on her.
Yeah, you got no leverage here. What are you going to do?
Yet. Again, enough about jackets. Let's talk about video games. Today's stories include which streaming apps work on Xbox, Fortnite's next-gen details, and more. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames has been popping all weekend. Donktober episode 4, the finale with me and Barrett, is available right now. I got to wrap up Donkey Kong 64. I finally rolled credits on the game. That was the one thing I hadn't done. I'd done everything in that game aside from the final boss fight, pretty much. And so I finally got to complete that. It feels good. It's about like a 4-hour video, I want to say, because it went longer than I think either of us anticipated. And let me tell you, things unraveled toward the end. Like, I throughout the whole month, I had in the back of my mind, I remember, Imran, you were saying, you can't wait to see how this goes because you're expecting me to play DK64 and then realize how terrible it was. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, there were moments of that. There are a couple levels, Gloomy Galleon specifically, where I was like, oh, this is rough. And yeah, toward that last boss fight, there were moments where I was like, oh yeah, no, the controls here are not as precise as I want them to be. And I had a lot of hints of like, oh man, is Imran going to be right here? Let me tell you though, I'm on the opposite side of it, where I think I love the game more now after having played it from front to back over the course of the whole month again. Go check out Donktober if you want to see the I guess 15 hours probably of me making that realization. Such a good game, such a good time, very good content. And so go check that out.
What's next on the, like, what's the next on your gaming pile of shame that you would totally stream?
Here's the thing. I thought about this a little bit. Jet Force Gemini is another game that I talk a lot about how much I love it and how much it's one of my favorite games ever. Also, never roll credits on that one for pretty much the exact same reason. Like, Rare during the
any Rare N64 games,
like, Rare during the N64 era got to a point specifically in 99 where they're like, fuck it, for anybody to beat these games, they're gonna have to collect every single collectible. And as a kid, I just, that just wasn't my jam. Like, I loved everything else in those games. I loved the how the games played. I love the worlds. I love the characters, all that stuff. But when it came to Jet Force Gemini specifically, you had to collect all the tribals in all the areas, which are basically killable collectibles. Like, they're collectibles that enemies will straight up murder, and you would have to do that whole area over again. And so, like, and they're like hidden all over the place. And so that was the thing where I was like, as a kid, I was like, no, this is bullshit. Everything else in this game I absolutely love and adore. This specifically is bullshit, therefore I will not beat this game. That said, I was thinking about this as I was finishing Donktober, and I was like, that could be next on the list. Jet Force January. But then I was like,
that's a good one.
Way too soon. Way too soon to do this in January, coming off DK64. But we'll see, man. We might make it happen. Jet Force July would be great. That is another J month. Jet Force June too, but like July is further out, and so I'll think about it. We'll see what happens. I also there's not another Jet Force person. Like, it's kind of funny. It's just me, right? I don't know. I've not met any other Jet Force person, like, in the industry at all.
No. I'm like, what you have to do for that one is you'd have to drag someone different in every week and try and convince them by the end of that show that Jet Force Gemini is not a terrible game.
I could do that, because that's easy, because it's not a terrible game. The game is fantastic. It's just people have expectations out of this world. Everybody's judging everything based on Banjo-Kazooie, and everything can't be Banjo-Kazooie. But I digress. That's not all that's going on YouTube.com. So it's kind of funny games, because last Friday I played through chapter 1 of the Ghost of Tsushima Legends raid. And that's also available right now. YouTube.com. So it's kind of funny games. Me and a squad of all-stars did chapter 1. And I've had people ask, like, are we going to upload chapter 2 and 3? The answer is no, because raids are very difficult. And we did not record chapter 2 because that took us like 4 hours, and we knew it was going to take us a long time. So chapter 1 is what's available. Enjoy it. It's a good time. Definitely check that out. And it doesn't stop there, because Greg did a special Halloween stream showing off his Animal Crossing Island. That's also available right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Extra Life is happening this Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time. You can catch the whole Kind of Funny crew and our shenanigans for 12 hours straight, as we'll be raising money for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. You can catch it all going down live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And also, community stream hosting starts Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. You can catch all the info you need on that and more, kindoffunny.com/extralife. And remember to donate for the big, beautiful kids. If you can't tell, because I'm still on housekeeping, it's a very busy week here at Kind of Funny. So because of the way scheduling and stuff is shaking out, PS Love You XOXO will be posting this week on Friday as opposed to Tuesday. And so stay tuned for that. Friday episode, PS Love You XOXO. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach and Black Jack. Today we're brought to you by Quip and DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 6 stories
today. Oh, Baker's Dozen was definitely choking during the beginning of that.
Oh, I could tell. I was powered through. Starting with our number one, Imran. How much do you like watching TV on your Xbox?
I usually actually use my PS4 as the media box, but I feel like that might be changing next generation.
That definitely might be changing, at least at the start of this next generation, because we now know what TV and streaming apps are coming to Xbox Series X, and it's pretty much all of them. I'm pulling this directly from Xbox Wire, who writes, just as we're bringing forward all the games that play on Xbox One today, we're excited to announce that your favorite entertainment apps you enjoy today on Xbox One will be available on Xbox Series X and Series S. That means your favorite streaming apps like Netflix, Disney Plus, HBO Max, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube TV, Amazon Prime Video, Hulu, NBC Peacock, Vudu, Fandango Now, Twitch, SkyGo, Now TV, Sky Ticket, and more will be waiting for you when you boot up your new Xbox console on November 10th. And Apple TV is coming to Xbox consoles. When our all-new Xbox family of consoles launch worldwide on November 10th, you'll have more than just the entertainment apps you enjoy today on Xbox One. We're excited to share that the Apple TV app is coming to Xbox One and Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S on November 10th. The Apple TV app gives you access to thousands of shows and movies from one convenient location, allowing you to enjoy Apple TV Plus, Apple TV channels, brand new and popular movies, and personalized entertainment recommendations. Imran, what is your reaction to all this?
So, this makes sense, because like the OS is very similar between the Xbox One and the Series X and Series S. So, obviously, they should be able to bring over every app. Like, it's no big deal. PS5 is getting a complete reboot, but they're not bringing over every app. I think I forgot to research it before we actually started this, but I don't think Hulu is launching on PS5.
Yeah, Hulu is not available.
That's super weird because Sony partly owns that thing. Like, they're a big proponent of Hulu. So, yeah, this is... I do use my PS4 as a media box, mostly because it's just easy to go from a game to a Netflix or whatever to switch back when I need to. I have been considering just buying a separate media box, but if the Xbox is going to support all this stuff, then I might just stick with that for right now, because why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a similar place where, like, I'm not thought about buying a separate media box, mainly because I have a smart TV. Like, all the apps are available on my TV natively. With that, I still use PS4 and Xbox One when it comes to streaming all my video stuff. I have found it a bummer that Hulu and a few of the other apps are not going to be available on PS5 at launch. And it's this weird thing of, I expected that to be the case, just because you imagine that for PS5 and the way that Sony has been handling it, right, it's kind of been this curated, like, private thing where nobody's getting a PS5 until 2 weeks beforehand, 3 weeks beforehand. Okay, now we're going to start sending these things out. But there has been that ambiguity of, all right, who has these things available, who doesn't have these things? You imagine that for in terms of getting devs console units, there are probably similar sorts of barriers to entry. And for me, that feeds back to, all right, like, who do the people that need a PS5 dev kit or whatever it is in order to make a Hulu app work? And Hulu is a weird example because, like, Hulu is under Sony, right? Like,
okay, so Chad is telling me they're actually out of Disney now. So I think Sony has a deal with Hulu, because I know that, like, they had an exclusive content deal for quite a while.
I think Disney has like 51% of the stock or something. They, like, bought it from Comcast or some shit.
Maybe part of the rest is Sony. I need.
I'm sorry, 67%. Comcast owns 33%. So some of my information was right. You know what I mean?
And, like, it's still somewhat weird because, like, Disney Plus, I believe, works on PS5 at launch. And I know, like, different companies, all that, like, people are under people, whatever. But, like, whose hands do you need to get that PS5 dev kit in order to just make a Hulu app work on PS5, which for all intents and purposes seems like it should be an easy thing, right? I'm sure, like, Hulu is probably going to come to PS5 in months.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Like, maybe
I would not be shocked if it's, like, before the end of December, honestly.
Yeah, like, that's my expectation. Like, it shouldn't be too long without a lot of these apps on PS5. But it is this weird thing on the Xbox side of, yeah, it seems like because everything is... It's either because Xbox is really good about getting folks the tools they need to make stuff work, or I don't know if, like, backwards compatibility or the fact that it's basically, like, the same OS, you know, feeding into next generation, if that's the reason why everything is just already available. Either way, it's really cool on the Xbox side. Makes me kind of sad on the Sony side, but I don't expect this to be a huge thing.
Yeah, this is not going to be like a war. Like, people aren't going to be like, oh, well, the PS5 has, or the Xbox has Netflix, and it's a better, like, everything has Netflix. Like,
you'd be surprised, well, man. You'd be surprised about comments people make on the internet about anything.
I'm sure people will use it. I just don't think anyone will care. And, like, for me, it's just a choice of, oh, well, Hulu's not on there now, so I can still just use it on Xbox. And the most dramatic problem with all of this is I don't want to log into all this stuff again. But beyond that, I don't think anyone really cares that much.
Yeah, I do like Apple TV coming to Xbox consoles. Yeah. And if I remember correctly, too, I believe Apple TV is also coming to PlayStation. But just the fact that I can watch what's called Mythic Quest, finally.
That new show about a football coach that I hear is really good. And I can't remember the name of it.
I've not heard of this one. kindoffunny.com since you're wrong.
Yeah. You're wrong. Tell us the name of it. But
is it like,
it's a comedy.
Is it, what was the name of that comedy that I think was on
HBO? Everybody's saying Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso. Yes.
Gotcha.
I've heard that it's quite good.
Down and Down or whatever.
But yeah, I think I want to watch Mythic Quest. Like, people talked about it for like a week and then nobody talked about it. I'm not sure if that's like because the show doesn't have staying power or because nobody has Apple TV.
I mean, I feel like a lot of people have Apple TV because they bundled in with one of the iPhones, right? Which I guess is now ending for a lot of people. The last iPhone, 11. The 11, everybody that got the 11 got Apple TV.
Kevin, that was a loud vacuum you got there.
What do you want me to do?
No, it's all good. I'm not complaining. I respect the fact that you keep your house clean.
That's the thing. I want it clean, and if I wait till 1 o'clock, then I you know, maybe it'll get done in time for the morning shows. But then it's like midday, and it's like at that point I've been walking around already, being like, oh, look how much cat hair is everywhere.
Do you guys know anybody that uses Apple TV?
I don't hear
it come up much in conversation at all.
I saw people talking about Mythic Quest, but like those people actually worked at Ubisoft, so I assume
Youssef is like the one person who's like, oh yeah, let's go, Mythic Quest is awesome, and I'm like, I believe you, because like you wouldn't just like blow smoke. Also like it's from what's his name, who I can never remember, Rob
McElhenney.
Rob McElhenney. Yeah, it was from him. Like, I appreciate his work, so I expect it to be good, but who knows. Now it's coming to PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah, we'll see. But I don't know, I'm not going to pay for another service, so maybe it doesn't matter at all, so who cares?
Yeah. Imran, speaking of the transition to next-gen, story number two, Fortnite's next-gen upgrade is coming next week at console launch. The Fortnite team posted a blog post about it detailing what we can expect. Next-gen is next week. Once you've taken in that sweet smell of unboxing a brand new Xbox or PlayStation, a next-gen version of Fortnite will be ready and waiting for you to download. The Fortnite builds on Xbox Series X and S and PS5 aren't simply tweaked last-gen builds, but new native ones to harness the power of the new consoles. If you're already a Fortnite player, you'll easily be able to continue your progress, and if you're new to Fortnite, it'll be a great time to jump in. Whether you're a veteran player or looking to play for the first time, you'll be able to download the game on your new console day one and enjoy a truly next-gen Fortnite experience. Features on Xbox look like this. You have 4K resolution at 60fps on Series X, dynamic visuals and physics on Series X, 1080p resolution at 60fps on Series S. You can get it into matches faster with loading performance loading performance has been significantly upgraded, not only improving texture loading, but also helping you get into a match from game startup much faster. And then they also talk about enhanced split screen, where they say on Xbox Series X and S, split screen now supports 60fps, which is all very exciting.
I didn't know that game had split screen. So sure.
Oh yeah. Great. Yeah, they added it like a year and a half ago. They added it a while ago. And I remember like reading that update and being like, whoa, that's out of nowhere. That's pretty cool. Features on PS5 look like this. You also got 4K resolution at 60fps, dynamic visuals and physics. DualSense controller immersion, where they say haptic feedback makes it feel like you're holding the suppressed SMG or bolt action sniper rifle, in addition to general vibration support. We've integrated haptic trigger feedback for ranged weapons on new DualSense controller. And then they also add, you can select your favorite mode from the PS5 home screen. Fortnite supports PS5's activities, starting with the ability to go straight into the Battle Royale lobby with either solos, duos, or squads selected. Once in the lobby, choose to queue up for your selected mode. And then you can also get into matches faster, and there's also the enhanced split screen on PS5. All this sounds cool. I'm digging it. I'm very curious about the DualSense controller immersion. I really want to know how far they go with that, because as I've mentioned on specifically in the Astros Playroom first impressions video that we did, and I guess on that episode of PSLW XOXO that went up that same day, right? Like, the DualSense is really cool. Like, the DualSense has some awesome features. The haptic feedback feels really advanced. Like, I think I mentioned this before, but it feels like HD Rumble, but even more HD, like way more HD. It's actually like a really cool function and feature, and so I'm curious to see how far they go with it, and even like if they use the triggers in cool ways, right? Talking about the sniper rifle and all that stuff. I'm in the frame of mind right now where I'm like, all that stuff is still really cool to me, and I'm sure that'll wear off probably in a year or so, maybe months. But I'm down with all that. That all sounds cool. All these next gen updates, 4K 60, I'm always down with. That seems awesome. Imran, do you have any reaction to this?
So here's my, I'm curious about DualSense stuff in competitive games. Like, will it only be enhancing things, or is it like, well, because they mentioned the suppressed SMG and the bolt action sniper rifle. Is it going to be a thing of, I can't pull the trigger as fast as I want to because this trigger is stopping me? But like, if that's the case, then why would you not competitively just turn it off? Like, why would you want that on there, except for the case of immersion, which great for single player games, but maybe less of a great thing when you're trying to win a match.
No, I think, yeah, and I think that makes sense. I can see a case where, like, for an SMG, like they talk about the suppressed SMG, like I can see a case where holding fire gives like a vibration function to the trigger, which I don't like. I'm not like tuned in to like the competitive scene, so I don't know if that's something that folks would turn off or not, but like those options are also available to turn off. And I imagine for like competitive games, for most competitive games where, you know, either the trigger thing is activated where you have to hold it harder in order to make it go through, where that stuff's activated, I imagine folks are probably going to turn that off. That's my assumption.
That is my, like, I imagine you have to design for this, right? Like, it has to be a thing where you, as a game developer, go, okay, well, this is a competitive game, so we can only use a DualSense in a way that makes things better and doesn't inhibit you in any way. Because, like, the go-to example of the trigger stopping was Deathloop, where the gun will jam and you'll just, like, not be able to pull the trigger down. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're gonna, you can't do that in, like, a Call of Duty or something like that, because then people will be like, oh, I should have been able to do this, but the game just wouldn't let me, or the controller didn't, or it was it's actually the controller's fault versus just being a lame excuse for it being the controller's fault. Like, a lot of this just does come down to game design and what developers do, but I think I would not be shocked if on a competitive level, or even like a, I just want to win this match, I don't really, you know, care about immersion as much, like, level, that most people just turn that sort of thing off for those games.
Yeah. And honestly, you say most people, I think most people just probably won't care, unless it's a...
people playing competitively, I should say.
Okay. Yeah, and then that's my thing, right? Like, I imagine people who are very much in it, like, people who are either, like, the big streamers or competitive players or players who take it super seriously will be the ones that are like, nah, fuck this, man. I can get my millisecond of better reaction time by turning this off. Those folks will probably turn it off, where I think most of the time it is going to be a thing of, okay, yeah, like, there's an added vibration function, or, okay, yeah, like, I have to pull through a bit in order to actually get my shots off, which could act as like a, hey, this will help you with accuracy a little bit, or maybe it is a, okay, no, this is just a immersion type of thing, which doesn't matter to the actual experience other than to give a cool effect. Like, I imagine most players are going to get to that and go, oh, that's cool, and then like move on, whereas that is going to be a thing that actually like affects how competitive players interact with it. That said, like, I wonder how some of this stuff works too with crossplay. Like, we talk about the controller, and I'm sure the DualSense controller isn't going to be a thing of like, whoa, this is the best way to play Fortnite because this gives you the competitive advantage. Like, I'm still probably going to be mouse and keyboard. But like, get into matches faster is one that kind of stuck out to me, because I was like, well, how does that work for crossplay? Like, is that if you're playing just within the PS5 ecosystem or the Xbox Series X ecosystem that works, or is it a thing of like, or like, how would that work in crossplay where it is matchmaking? Like, I just want to know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, like, they already kind of segregate it. Like, Switch can only play with mobile, for example, or like when matchmaking, like, you can always like choose between those, but like, Switch can only play with mobile, so I would not be shocked if they're like, hey, this is just for SSDs, or like, this is PC, Series X, and PS5. Everyone else is in a separate thing for matchmaking, but who knows? Like, I get into matches faster because once you get into the lobby, I think it's only just we're building the thing. It's not a matter of we're waiting for everybody to load. So, yeah, it's going to, gotcha. I think, as things go forward, it's going to be like, okay, now in 2022, we've cut off this, like, we segregated these things. So now it's only this generation that can do, or that can play together. But yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of open questions of how developers are going to handle a more open ecosystem these days.
Yeah. And folks in chat are letting me know that. Basically, it loads you into a lobby and then from there, matching stuff. And so that makes sense.
Yeah. So it'll load the lobby first, but it will not load the actual, like, get on the bus thing until everyone's ready from a server side. Yeah.
Still on the topic of the transition in next gen, we're in that window right now, I guess, where everybody's just all steams ahead for next gen, right? Like, everybody is focused on what that transition looks like. Story number three, Ubisoft detailed which of its PS4 games won't work on PS5, but now it's not sure. This is from Taylor Lyles at The Verge, and if, like, to give a preface to it, right, like, I think it was Friday or maybe Saturday, right, where Ubisoft put up a blog post and then immediately took it down because everybody was like, wait, what the fuck is going on here? Mm-hmm. Taylor Lyles at The Verge writes this. Earlier today, and I believe they were writing this on Friday, earlier today, Ubisoft released its own backward compatibility list to point out which older PS4 games won't run on the PS5. Instead of sharing that list at Sony's website, Ubisoft flagged the titles on its own website. But it appears that list may have been inaccurate, and the company has now taken it down. Quote, we have pulled the Ubisoft Connect article and forum post regarding backwards compatibility for the time being, as there may be inaccuracies involving the Ubisoft titles that will be playable on PS5, a Ubisoft spokesperson told The Verge in an email. Prior to taking down the post, Ubisoft claimed that the following 9 games wouldn't work on PS5. The games are these. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Assassin's Creed Chronicle Trilogy Pack, Assassin's Creed Chronicles India, Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia, Risk, Star Trek Bridge Crew, Werewolves Within, and Space Junkies. Interestingly, these games do not appear on Sony's PS5 backwards compatibility list, which currently has 10 titles that Sony says will not work on the new console. In contrast, all of the Ubisoft titles released on the Xbox One will run on Microsoft's Xbox Series X and S consoles, according to the company. What's most surprising is that Star Trek Bridge Crew and Space Junkies, two PlayStation VR titles, are supposedly not backwards compatible. Sony has already said that the PS5 will support the PSVR, but you will need a special adapter to use the headset with the new console. Imran, what is going on here?
This is so confusing. So, like,
it is.
One, it's a bummer because Syndicate is my favorite Assassin's Creed in the last generation because it's the best of the classic ones of the... It's the
Before
best
that
of
change.
That. Yeah. Like the
Unity origin.
Yes. I don't know what Ubisoft is doing or saying, really. Like, clearly it had to have been vetted a little bit to get in, like, posted, right? Like, it was posted on the Ubisoft blog.
Yes.
And so clearly somebody at some point signed off on, like, yeah, no, this is the list of games. Go through with it. Did they put that up and then Sony was like, hey, what the hell? And then they pulled it off? Or did they put that up and then somebody at Ubisoft was like, no, that's not right. Like, maybe Risk is supposed to be, like, not on there and that works fine and, like, the other stuff is correct. Who knows? Or was it they put that list up and then they started getting backlash for it? It was like, maybe we should pull this down until Sony, like, says so or something. It's so confusing because their countdown is so vague of, like, yeah, there's some inaccuracies. Like, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Is
what the hell,
like,
does that mean?
Like, is it all inaccurate? Because yeah, this is in pretty much direct contradiction to what Sony released, like, last week, right? Where it was, hey, yeah, here are the 10 games that aren't playable, and everybody's like, okay, cool, yeah, that's all we can expect. Sweet, cool, we're all happy with this. For Ubisoft to come out and then post this, where it is, hey, here are 10 of our games that won't work. That's blowback on both Ubisoft and Sony in a way where I can understand Sony reaching out and being like, hey. What's the disconnect going on here? Because we thought these games were playable, or we weren't ready to say yet that these games aren't playable.
Right.
The fact that, like, for the most part, these are games that people don't necessarily care too much about, with the exception of the Assassin's Creed games. Like, yeah, Syndicate is a blow, and then the Chronicles games, like, I know there are people out there that like those games, and so, like, Risk, Star Trek Bridge Crew, Werewolves Within, and Space Junkies is, like, whatever. Aside from the fact that a couple of those are PSVR games, which is then damning on, all right, cool, so there are going to be some PSVR games that aren't playable for PS5. What does the future of PSVR looks like? That's a whole other conversation that we can have. The weird thing here is that they posted it and took it back down, which tells me, which I guess I just don't know what to take from that. You know, part of me wants to take it as somebody fucked up. Maybe they thought these games weren't going to work and they actually do work. Or maybe, like, there was communication somewhere along the lines of Sony talking to Ubisoft being like, hey, how do we get these to work? Or, hey, like, you know, can we get permission and all this stuff? something there might have broken down, or it might just be, hey, this is accurate information that we just posted too early because we weren't ready yet, or Sony wasn't ready yet, or whatever it may be. Yeah. It is a, no matter what it is a weird thing. It is super weird that these games may or may not work, or seemingly at least at one point didn't work, or whatever it is. Like, the fact that this got posted is weird.
Like, if the information is accurate that there are PS5 games that are PS4 games that have been listed as theoretically backwards compatible, or we're not on the list of like exclusions that we don't know about yet. Like, if this list of 9 games is actually just one game, that's still a problem, because yeah. Now the doors are wide open of like, okay, what was the breakdown here of why did you list 9 out of this other 10 games that, like, you specifically said these games aren't playable, but is there actually, you know, a much larger list somewhere? Like, are publishers going through bit by bit, yeah, going like, okay, actually it turns out that, like, I don't know, Nier Automata is not playable, or something like that, like, that we don't know and we're just assuming will work. Because, like, if it turns out that games I've been waiting on for the PS5 to start playing, like, aren't compatible, then that's going to be an issue because I just kind of assumed they were going to be. And I don't, like, there's not a big through line through this list of games, besides them being from Ubisoft, that, like, makes sense of why they wouldn't be compatible. Like, the Chronicles games are different from the main series, like, Syndicate games. Some of those are PSVR, some of them are not. Like, what is it that's not working here? Is it an
It's like, what is it about Syndicate that's different from Unity and Black Flag and the others?
It's
not really a rhyme or reason.
It's really confusing, and, like, I think Sony and or Ubisoft need to come out and say, like, oh yeah, actually there was a firmware update coming, we didn't know about it, and that actually does make these games playable, or something like that. Because, like, basically this has more questions than answers, and it's part of the frustration of this leading up to next gen is that, like, there's still things we don't know, and those things come out literally next week. So I would like to know, one, what the problem was in the first place with them writing that post, and two, are these games going to be on there? Like, is this going to be a situation where my Assassin's Creed Syndicate disc is basically useless if I sell my PS4 Pro? And, like, I understand the logic of, oh, well, if you want all the games, don't sell your Pro. But you can't put out a list of here's the only exclusions and then add exclusions to that.
Yeah, well, that is where the bigger problem lies, right? It's like, it's not the fact that I don't think that many people are looking forward to playing Syndicate, you know, on the PS5. I'm sure some people were, but for the most part, these are games that you could say are, hey, these games are not coming forward to the PS5, and everybody's probably just gonna be like, all right, cool. Like, I didn't plan to play the Chronicles games on my PS5, and if I really want to play them, I can play them on my PS4. It is the implication of, if any of this is true, then what does that do for the rest of the library? Like, when am I going to get the EA blog post that is like, hey, none of the sports games are available? Or when am I going to get the Activision blog post that are like, hey, these games aren't available? Like, what does that mean going forward? Which, again, I imagine that that's why I'm on the side of this has to be some sort of error, because it feels like a big error if it is.
Like, the other part of this is, if this is a thing that's on Ubisoft, like, something they did made it not compatible, because I don't naturally assume backwards compatibility on a PS5 was a mostly automatic mechanical thing that did not have to require individual developers and publishers to actually make sure their games work. But if that's the case, what happens if an EA says, oh yeah, we're not making Fallen Order backwards compatible. Hey, guess what? There's a remaster soon. Like, is that going to be the thing that happens, or is it going to be like, I don't know. There's plenty of, like, this has so many question marks behind it that it makes me, like, suspicious of what is the reasoning behind the answers at the end of the day.
It's a slippery slope that we'll have to wait and see how that pans out. Story number 4, though. Activision Blizzard wants to bring all their franchises to mobile. This is from Alyssa McAloon at Gamasutra. Mobile is so far going well for Activision Blizzard, but its current dabblings on the platform, which include Call of Duty Mobile and its 300 million worldwide downloads, are only the beginning. Top Activision Blizzard execs talked about their vision for the massive company's future on mobile in a recent call with investors, exploring a desire to bring more of its flagship franchises to the platform and expand its current dealings into new regions. Quote, "We need to make sure that we're enabling our franchises on the billions of mobile devices that are available right now. That's by far our biggest opportunity, and we're investing meaningfully to capitalize on this and to take all our franchises to mobile over time, says Activision Blizzard's president and COO, Daniel, Allegre. Currently, Call of Duty Mobile is at the front and center of Activision Blizzard's mobile expansion, though the company has the added benefit on the mobile front of including Candy Crush maker King in its portfolio of studios. Cool. I don't think this is necessarily a surprise. I think my takeaway from this is, what is Overwatch Mobile? What does that game look like? Is it a spinoff? Is it a new version? Is it tied in with Overwatch 2? That's what I want to know.
I mean, Call of Duty Mobile is like successful and apparently pretty good. Like, as long as these things don't take away from the, like, are you pulling, I don't think they're going to pull developers from Overwatch 2 to work on Overwatch Mobile. Like, I imagine it's just people who are done and, like, you know, they're working with an external studio to do all that stuff. But, like, this is not necessarily for us. This is not for people who, you know, care about these games on a PC or console or stuff like that. It's for people who are like, hey, I care. I kind of know the brand and I have a phone, or I live in China. And, like, those are the people who this is all for.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it makes total sense that they do leverage their brands for mobile games.
Yeah. And I feel like there's been hints of that already, right? Like, even with is it Diablo Immortal? Is that what it is? The mobile Diablo game that people were upset about a few years ago?
Yeah, which never ended up coming out.
Did it not?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it was a beta, but I don't think that game has ever seen like official release. It might just not be done, but they've not talked about it because that was a huge backlash. And that's like kind of the thing, because people thought Diablo was replacing Diablo 4. It wasn't. They were like, they have already said they were working on Diablo 4 at the time, and just weren't ready to announce it yet. So how you package these, like Call of Duty Mobile just sort of came out and it was like, cool, there's a Call of Duty Mobile. It's not taking the place of Call of Duty, whatever the year it was, last year? Year before last, maybe? That, like, it's not taking that game's place. But it's out. It's a thing that's popular. It's a thing that's making money. That's the way you got to do it, really, because honestly, it doesn't really make a difference if you do, like, a long hype cycle for it.
The mobile market is just different, right? Like, you can put stuff out and have people download it for a dollar or free with microtransactions or whatever the setup may be, and, you know, things can be successful in that way. In a way where announcing something way ahead can probably do more harm than good, very much in the case of Diablo Immortal, where if they had just dropped Diablo Immortal out of nowhere, it's called Diablo Immortal, right? I'm not making that stuff up.
I don't remember because it's been so long since I've thought about it.
Kind of funny.com says you're wrong. But like, they could have just dropped that, and like, yeah, they would have gotten people. They would have gotten hate because it's not the next Diablo game that people are looking forward to and want. Okay, people are saying, yes, it is Immortal. It's not the next Diablo game that people are looking forward to and want, but like, just get into people's hands and, like, you know, let that thing breathe and live, and I'm sure that thing finds an audience. Where now, like, the name of it is kind of tainted because it had that announcement. People are like, where the fuck is the next Diablo? And it had time to sit in that, and now, like, I'm sure when it finally comes out, it'll have an audience and people will like it and all that stuff, especially people who are already in the ecosystem or are okay playing in that ecosystem, right? Like, those people will play it and like it, but there still does exist that kind of weirdness around it. I feel like if whenever they do an Overwatch mobile game, whether it is like here's the actual third person shooter Overwatch, or if it is here's a match 3 puzzle game Overwatch game, whatever it may be, right? Like, if you just drop it and get it out there, the Overwatch fan base is big enough and passionate enough that the people who see interest in that will download it and just play it and, like, not really have a problem with it, especially because we know Overwatch 2 is coming, right? And I imagine by the time Overwatch Mobile comes out, Overwatch 2 is probably already going to be here. And so,
yeah. An ideal Overwatch Mobile game for me would be take Pokemon Unite, just replace it with Overwatch characters. Like, that's just a small-scale MOBA, basically. Like that seems like it would make sense. Like, you don't need to fully copy that game, but I imagine what they are going to do is, like, here's just a scaled down version of Overwatch for mobile, because, like, that requires less design, less, you know, less risk as well.
Hear me out though. Tony Hawk Mobile. I've been thinking about this a lot.
There was mobile game. It was not Activision made, but there was a mobile game, Tony Hawk, 2 years ago, where, like, he literally turns into No, you play as a non-Tony Hawk skater. Then for your, like, your meter is full, you turn into Tony Hawk, and it makes a bird sound when you do it. That's all I remember.
Oh, that sounds sick.
That's genius. That's great. That's great. I was actually thinking about
Skate Jam.
That sounds about right, yeah.
I was thinking about this while I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 Plus 2 when it came out. That game is prime, or at least that setup is prime for a... I want to say the words games as a service, but I guess I'll say like live service setup, right? Like ongoing game setup, where it is like I could see a case where they put out a game called Tony Hawk World, where it is level, like unlimited levels made by, like, that are user made, user created, or whatever the case may be, that is like a, hey man, like, play Tony Hawk forever kind of game. I think that game could work and exist. And does that fit a mobile game or not? Who knows? Maybe it does. Maybe you do that and then continue to make Tony Hawk 3 plus 4. But I feel like that game is going to come eventually, like the forever Tony Hawk game.
The remaster has a level editor, right?
Yeah, it does have a level creator.
But it's like, not as like integrated as you want.
Yeah, I want something that's more integrated. Something that is more like you go, like you can browse through a bunch of, like Trackmania for Tony Hawk, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like where you can go online, just browse through unlimited levels, and there are goals or time attacks or score attacks associated with those levels, and it is just this expanded forever Tony Hawk game that you can play, right? And the best levels rise to the top, all that good stuff.
That would be cool. I would like that. I would not trust Activision to do it, but that would be cool.
Bro, you have a job.
Yeah, but like, that job sounds cool though, you know? I can work two jobs, Kevin.
No, you can't. You barely do this one well.
Oh, wait, no, I do this one great. I do. Dogtober was a hit.
You couldn't even beat Greg Miller at a Halloween, like, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I did. I'm pretty sure I did, Kevin.
I don't
Were
know.
You there? Were you there?
Yeah, for most of it, I'd say.
Dogtober is great. October is great. Halloween is great. Donkoween is great. Story number 5, speaking of things that aren't that great, PlayStation shuts down custom PS5 plate company. This is from James Blatchler at gamesindustry.biz. Sony has taken legal action against a peripherals manufacturer that was selling custom face plates for the upcoming PS5 console. VGC reports customizedmyplates.com, previously known as PlayStation 5, PlayStation5.com, has canceled all orders and pulled its range from sale. However, at the time of writing, the products still seem to be listed on the website. The company was offering unofficial faceplates for PS5 in a range of colors, following a Sony video showing the official white plates can be removed. The site told VGC it carried out due diligence and believes that since Sony's patents on the faceplates are still pending, it was legally allowed to create its own alternatives. A spokesperson said, quote, "But after only a day of our website being live, Sony's lawyers asked us to change our name due to trademark infringements. We thought this switch would be enough to keep everyone happy. And honestly, we're hoping so, since we were already underway with our product development. But then Sony's lawyers told us it was their opinion that Sony's intellectual property extended to the faceplates, and that if we continue to sell and distribute them in any country, we would end up in court, end quote. Imran, does this surprise you that it went down this way? With
not at all.
PlayStation?
I figured that they were going to that people were going to make custom plates, and I also figured Sony would be like, no. Like, I don't even necessarily think this is a... I don't think that was ever intended to happen, of Sony thought, oh, like, the plates are movable. I don't think they ever thought somebody would like put on a different plate for it. I think
they'd have to know. Right? Like, that's the thing. Like, that's the thing people love to do with their consoles.
Sony
seems 360, people love doing that.
No, yeah, absolutely. But like, in 360 was intended. I think Sony's like high off their own supply a little bit of like, oh no, this design is so good. Why would anyone change it? Why would anyone get a different plate? Like, we have like the perfect design here. I don't think they're gonna, like, I don't know. I bet that maybe somebody at Sony knew, but I bet the people who designed it were like, no, it's just a removable plate that you put back on immediately. Like, you only remove it so you can get inside. That's it.
Frank Furter writes in and says, "Good morning, Blessing and Imran. With Sony asking a custom faceplate company to stop all pre-orders due to copyright, Does this prove anything that Sony is thinking of taking a page out of Xbox's book and creating a design lab type website where we can create our own custom faceplates? Also, please remember tomorrow is the election day. So if you're registered to vote, vote. Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter.
You can also register and vote same day.
There you go. I'm going to go ahead and say no, that PlayStation is not working on their own design lab-esque thing for the faceplates. I think this is them going, hey, we plan to sell different colors of the PS5 at a certain point and different designs of the PS5 at a certain point. Like custom, or not custom, but like a Spider-Man, let's say Spider-Man 2 PS5 or like a Metal Gear Solid 6.5 PS5. Like we plan to release these at a certain point. And so we don't want people to have other options to customize these things. That's kind of where I see it.
Like, why would you sell like a Death Stranding cover plate or like a Death Stranding version of the PS4 or PS5 if somebody could just like 3D print one or buy one online or whatever? Like, I don't think they're going to move significantly different from their usual hey, we're making a special edition console kind of thing. They're definitely not going to let custom plates go through. That's not going to.
Yeah.
But whether they sell their own, I doubt it. And I don't think they're going to have a Control Lab style thing. Control Lab was like a really weird thing, honestly. People don't appreciate how strange that is for a major
first party. But it's awesome, though.
It is awesome. And it's like, I have my my blue Xbox One controller that is like, oh, this is great. I'm happy with this thing. But I don't think Sony's going to do that for plates. I think if you want a custom plate, break out the finger paints, because like that's how you're gonna get one.
Yeah, like a big part of me has hoped that Sony would take a note from Design Labs, because I think Design Labs is like the coolest thing, and I've been wanting to do that for an Xbox controller, but I don't play on Xbox enough to feel like it's worth me doing that. But like if PlayStation did that on their side for the DualSense, which I'm sure they also would never do, maybe they would do it for colors, but I don't think they would let you, like, or I guess Design Labs was just colors, wasn't it? I don't think they'd do it for DualSense. I don't know. I don't see Sony as that type of company, but if they did it, I'd be all over it. Like, I think that'd be an amazing idea. For Facebook, definitely not. They're not doing
it. What are those things at the bottom of the handles on the DualSense?
Bottom of the handles, what do you mean?
Like those little black spots.
Oh, they're just black spots.
Oh, they're just like, they don't, oh, okay. It just extends out. I thought it was separated. I didn't know there was like a sensor there or something, but yeah.
No. I mean, it's the DualSense, Imran. The whole thing is a sensor.
By the way, we got a year wrong that I want to correct right now. You can register and vote in the same day in certain states. Check your state to make sure that's true. I believe it's true in California, not true everywhere else necessarily.
Pro tip, vote early. I know it's late now to vote, vote early, but future elections, vote early because it saves you a lot of time.
Yep.
Before we get into our last news story, Imran, I want to tell you about our sponsor. Of course, you can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Quip. There are only two types of people in the world. Those of us who brush and floss every day and those who might just start. Thanks to Quip's refillable floss pick. You know Quip, the electric toothbrush you hear about all the time, but it's their sleek, reusable floss pick you'll want to use next. The durable handle is easy to guide, restrings with a click, and comes with a compact mirror dispensing case for on the go. Plus, a single refill pod replaces over 180 single-use plastic flossers, so it's better for your teeth and the environment. Pair your floss with the perfect electric toothbrush for adults and kids. Quip has the simple guiding features you need, like the timed sonic vibrations with guiding pulses to help you brush better. And now you can get amazing rewards just for brushing your teeth every day. Quip also delivers brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months from $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the store. Bring delight to your everyday brushing and join over 5 million mouths brushing with Quip starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, spelled GETQUIP.com/games. We're also brought to you by DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just to open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES. Don't forget, that's code GAMES for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Imran, story number 6. A Vampire the Masquerade Battle Royale game has been revealed for 2021. This is Jordan Alleman at IGN. A Battle Royale game set in the Vampire the Masquerade universe has been revealed and is set to launch in the later half of 2021. The debut for UK and Sweden-based developer Shark Mob, the currently unnamed title, was revealed with a teaser trailer showing warring sects of vampires battling through the streets and rooftops of Prague. Supernatural powers, weapons, and blood are listed as the main tools in your arsenal as you hunt, fight, and survive the night. It's not clear just yet what platforms Shark Mob are planning to release the game on yet, but their website notes that they develop for PC and next-gen consoles. Imran, does this speak to you at all?
I mean, it sounds like a cool idea. I do not know at what point in my life I'm going to have time for more Battle Royales or interest in more Battle Royales. Like, I tried playing what was the name of that game?
Spellbreak?
No, Spellbreak. Yes, which is cool. I like the look of that game. I like the idea. I played two matches and I was done. Because, like, there's nothing that is going to match how novel that concept was several years ago versus how, like, done I am with it now. Like, I still play Fortnite because, like, Fortnite is a social game and I have fun playing that with friends, but I play Fortnite and that's it. Like, I'm probably not going to play another Battle Royale anytime soon. I will give every Battle Royale probably like one or two matches and I'm like, all right, cool. Moving on. I see what the cool thing you're doing is. I wonder who's going to rip that off. But a vampire one sounds thematically at least cool.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea, but I'm in a similar place of am I done with new Battle Royale games? Like, am I just over it? Because I feel like the space has reached the point where there are the main ones, there are the side ones, and for me, as someone who got super into Apex Legends, who at one point was super into Fortnite, who wanted to be super into Hyperscape, but played the beta, played like a week of the final release, and was like, I'm good. And then like has kind of had that experience since when it comes to Battle Royales, right? Like Spellbreak, I had the exact same experience where I played two matches. I recorded a first impressions with Andy that ended up getting lost. And like, I just couldn't, it didn't speak to me. Like I can't think of a new Battle Royale game could do that would speak to me, unless it is like hey, we are taking, and I guess this is what this is doing. We're taking something that you love and turning it into a Battle Royale. Like, there are people that love Vampire the Masquerade, obviously. And so, like, maybe this is going to speak to them in a way that, Spellbreak or Hyperscape may not speak to them. But, like, for me, you know, you would have to announce, like, a Doom Battle Royale or something like that, right? Wolfenstein Battle Royale for me to go, okay, yeah, no, I like Doom. I like Wolfenstein. Let's see what this is about. Other than that, though, like the idea of new Battle Royales just don't do it for me anymore.
Even then, like they announced a Borderlands, like they don't call it a Battle Royale. Like they specifically don't call it, like they call it a roguelike, which is wrong because it's basically a Battle Royale. But like I'm not interested. I'm probably not going to try it. But at some point, these things are just going to be modes in games. And like the idea of like a deathmatch only game doesn't necessarily appeal to me either. So we'll see how this evolves. But at some point when you're saying like, hey, here's just a new Battle Royale, I'm like, no, nah, I'm good. I've already got one. We're fine.
Yeah. It would have to take a big name or just like a really, really well made experience for a Battle Royale to come through and even be on that same echelon and tier of an Apex or a Warzone, right? Or like or Fortnite feels like an impossible like feat if you want to be that big. But you know what I mean? Like to be a new top tier Battle Royale at this point feels impossible. I'm sure it's going to happen. I'm sure there's going to be one game that comes out in the next year or two that might break that barrier. But it does feel like the more and more these things get announced, the more and more I'm like, all right, cool. I'm not in that space where I'm trying every new battle royale every more.
Here's what I want. I want a control battle royale. I want to have all the powers of control, and I want to be in a battle royale in the oldest house.
I want a Last of Us battle royale. I think I might have mentioned this on the Sancho West episode from last month. But I think a Last of Us battle royale where it is very similar to factions from Last of Us 1. You keep the listen mode, keep all those cool features, but just expand it to it doesn't even have to be 100 players, right? Like 50 or 30 something players, where it is last man standing. I think that could be really fun. I'd be all about that.
I would endorse this if when there's like 10 players left, it says, finally, we can see who's the last of us. And oh, that, God. Like, as long as they say that, I'm good.
How fucking dare you? Imran, I'm excited to see what the next Battle Royale game announced is, but that's probably so far away, right? Right?
Right.
New Battle Royale game announced. That couldn't happen.
Could be as like late as tomorrow.
Probably. But tomorrow's so far away. If I wanted it was coming out to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Kingdom of Force for PC, Up on the Rooftop for PC, System Control for PC, Election 2020 Battle for the Throne for PC.
Oh, no.
Kevin? Kevin, I gotta know what that
I'm
is.
I'm on it, my dude!
Floor 13 Deep State for PC, Lawyer Guy, Defender of Justice for PC, The Wizard and the Slug for PC, Blood of Steel for Steam, and the Sniper Elite 4 is out today on Stadia. New dates for you. Ruined King is a League of Legends RPG coming to console, PC, and Switch in 2021. Everspace 2's early access release has been delayed to January. I don't know, Imran, if you saw this, but like it was supposed to come out, I think, maybe on the same day as Cyberpunk, and they were like, fuck that. No, we're moving to January. And
yeah, so, no, I saw that. Like the initial thing of like, hey, yeah, we're now on the day of Cyberpunk, so we're moving. Like there was nothing else. It was like, it wasn't, oh, we apologize because COVID is hard and working from home is difficult. And all, like it was, no, we're not coming out the same day as Cyberpunk.
Yeah, very smart. I like that kind of open honesty. And then George Orwell's Animal Farm will launch on December 10th on PC and mobile. I know, I had the same reaction. All right. Kevin is showing Election Day 2020.
Sorry, the music was blasting too, so for everyone that got scared, you should be ready all the time.
Battle for the Throne. So you're customizing. Okay, well, this is Donald Trump.
I assume this is going to be like an election simulator.
No.
It appears to be a bunch of like political comic minigames.
Wow.
So it's supposed to be Biden, huh?
No, that I'm not on board with that.
I don't think I'm a fan honestly. Deal of the day, this comes from Wario 64. Prime Gaming free November games are up. You're getting Victor Vran, A Knight's Quest, Lethus Path of Progress, Smoke and Sacrifice, and Arian Legacy of the Koryodon. So there you go. Now it is time for reader mailing. Of course, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get your questions read on the show, just like Chris writes in and says, with less than 2 weeks to go until the PS5 launch, will we get a more detailed state of play for Miles Morales in Demon Souls? I really like the in-depth looks for The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima that we got, and I hoped that would become a norm going forward. Imran, do you think we'll get a state of play, I guess, in the next week or so, detailing Miles Morales and or Demon Souls?
I mean, if I were Sony, sure. Like, ideally, they should do that. I imagine what they'll do instead, and keep in mind, I do not have a PS5, and I do not have any of the embargo information, so I do not, as I am saying this, I'm not saying this is a hint of anything, but I imagine that in the next 2 weeks, there will be, like, previews and reviews. So, I am guessing Sony will use those in, like, more than they will, like, do their own state of play. Like, let reviewers and previewers and all that talk about the game and presumably it being quite good. Blessing, I know you can't say anything, so I'm not gonna
sounds like
throw that
insider information, you know what I mean? Bless.
Wait, I have inside information or Imran does?
Imran.
Here's the thing. Imran always sounds like he has insider information.
I love it. It's the coolest thing about him. Hey, that and his one lie a day.
Mr. Controller charging your headset. Like, you can't throw that back
on
me.
Oh, my God. Can I say, like, I woke up. I woke up and I looked at my Twitter notifications and I was like, oh, no. Because, like, it wasn't a thing I ever thought about, right? The fact that I have a green earbuds and – or not green, red earbuds and a red USB-C cable. And if I equip both of those in the same video, people will get very excited to confirm new PS5 news. I did not foresee that happening. And yeah, so
I was making dinner last night, listening to the Bombcast, and they're like, Blessing of Kind of Funny confirmed. I'm like,
yeah, no, I was listening to it too, and I was like, oh, I didn't confirm shit. No, I didn't. That's not what I said. I didn't say anything. I was just playing a game and having fun. And so, yeah. If you're a content creator, you know, maybe think about disclosing when you have cables, different cables of the same color, because people get very confused.
Or if you're someone writing news about things, email someone and ask.
Maybe email somebody or like Twitter DM or at me, you know, to ask, because oh man, my notifications. Let's see here. We got one more question. Oh, actually, no, I'm going to save this question for the post show because we're pretty late in the show. So now it is time to squad up. Bo writes in with a squad up on Oculus Quest 2 and says, I miss people. I have no plan or motive to squad up other than to connect with the human race again in a virtual utopia. So if any best friends want to play Beat Saber, table tennis, or meet up in a movie theater, add me on Oculus Quest. You can add Bo on Oculus Quest with the username Bo James. That's spelled B-E-A-U James. Bo James. Now it is time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Oh, okay. Nailbotch says missed news about the Xbox streaming. Netflix, Disney Plus, or Vudu will support Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos support. I don't really count that as missed news, but it's added detail, and so cool. If you like Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos, boom.
Diablo Immortal had a trailer apparently at China Joy in September, so not dead. Just they're not talking about it as much for fairly obvious reasons.
Ryan T says, just a heads up with Xbox Design Labs. The Design Lab is offline until 2021. Is that true? Is Design Labs like not available right now?
I'm not sure. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't ever recall them. I guess it makes sense
because like you want the newer controller.
New controllers.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and you imagine they'll in 2021 they'll boot it back up with like a new Xbox controller.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a capture button.
Which is like the main. But I want that capture button. I find the capture button useful. So I'm kind of annoyed that like my actual control, like Design Lab controller, does not have that. And like, there's no obvious solution for that. But I think I'll just make that my PC controller now.
That is it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. This week's hosts go like this. So Design Labs is down.
Yeah, it says 2021 on the front.
That makes sense. Tomorrow's hosts are Tim and Tamor Hussein from GameSpot. Wednesday is Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's me and Tim. And then Friday, it's Greg and me. Of course, even before I do the sign off, remember, Extra Life is this Saturday. Tune in. We're streaming for 12 hours from 10 a.m. Pacific time to 10 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be a blast. There are going to be shenanigans, all that good stuff. Kindoffunny.com/extra life if you want to go donate or get involved with community streams. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.